Hey everyone, it's Cam Hurt, host of the Best Show Ever podcast, and we have got a second season coming out very soon that I am very excited about. We've got some very cool special guests, including musical acts that we all love, like Karina Reichman, Daniel Donato, Jake Brownstein from Eggy, Rick and Peter from Goose, and many more. Tune in for new episodes dropping on Osiris Media March 5th on the Best Show Ever podcast.
Hi, listeners. I want to tell you about a cause that I'm involved with at Heritage Radio Network. HRN is celebrating its 15th year, and to celebrate, we're deepening our commitment to giving voice to the next generation of food system storytellers, and we need your help. Our internship and fellowship programs help activate new possibilities for underrepresented and underestimated young people through experiential journalism, audio engineering, and production training. Through these unique programs, HRN helps food equity stewards build essential workforce readiness skills that expand their potential and foster economic mobility. Please consider supporting these critical programs. And with a minimum donation, you can be entered to win a dinner for two at an amazing restaurant in one of eight cities and tickets to a concert at a great venue in one of those cities. We have incredible partners across the country who have donated, as they also share our passion for helping to educate the next generation of food system storytellers. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. And make sure you donate before March 31st. Thank you.
Osiris.
What's going on? It's your friend, Karina Reichman. Delighted to be calling out to you from New York City on these airwaves. Hope you're having a great week, and I hope it's about to get even greater because it certainly is for me as I'm sitting across from my confidant, my partner in crime, my mainest dude. His name's Isaac Sloan. How you doing, Isaac?
Karina, can't stop addicted to the shindig. How are you?
He slays me off the bat. He slays me off the bat every time, this guy. This guy, he's quick. He's quick. He's nice with the words. He's got it off the bat. Isaac, Can't Stop by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Let me tell you about it. What a great fucking song. What a great song. It's maybe the greatest thing.
And it works really well as a show opener.
Oh, my God. You are just diving so deep. It does. It really does. And Isaac, of course, is looking at me with anticipatory eyes because, ladies and gentlemen, last week, SiriusXM put on an incredible concert at the world-famous Apollo Theater up in Harlem in the beautiful center of the universe, Manhattan. Oh, baby. And the Red Hot Chili Peppers were there, and 1,200 people were there. I was one of them. How did this happen? I just don't know, but I do know. But anyway, it was absolutely fucked up, and of course, they opened the show as a three-piece, right? It's Chad Smith, it's Flea, and it's my boy back in the cut, John Frusciante. A fucking power trio like none other, you know? And they are jamming. They start the show with what appeared to be an improv jam, and they're going for it. And they're cooking, and they're getting after it. And then the shit comes to a climax, and then they build into the beginning of Can't Stop. And boy, I would be lying to you, my fellow listeners, my fellow countrymen and women, if I told you I didn't sob uncontrollably when the first chorus of Can't Stop came. And I'm, you know, I'm not a crier. It's not my thing. Not much of a crier. But let me tell you, the only thing that does it these days is music that I have a very strong attachment to. That being, you know, a very, very important tune. I remember just, you know, getting my first like flea market acoustic guitar from my downstairs neighbor and hearing Can't Stop and trying to play it and knowing, or thinking rather, I could never play this song. It's so good and so complicated to my eighth grade mind. You know what I mean? I could not believe that they played that shit so effortlessly. And now, of course, I can play it on guitar, bass, whatever. But it was important, man. It was important. What the fuck?
Well, you know, I was just thinking that this is, I guess, a kind of reunion of sorts with John Frusciante and guitar.
Yeah.
And this is a show that is playing not arenas, but stadiums across the country.
Accurate.
football stadiums to some of the largest crowds you can possibly play to.
Correct.
And then they're playing the Apollo Theater. And yeah, of course you're going to have an emotional response. All of that energy is being directed at you and the people in close proximity to you in one of New York's most iconic venues.
It just came barreling at you, you know? And that's one of those bands, at least for me, and I know for many, many, many people, you know, the Chili Peppers are so emblematic of different moments of my life, and they've had this absolutely incredible, long career with incredible records, you know, that have just occupied different parts of my heart and my mind and soul for so long. And they were so formative for me. They were one of the first bands. I was like, this is a band that I love, you know?
Well, it's really interesting that they're actually able to play in front of crowds that large and have that much commercial success and reach, considering they're kind of ludicrous and crass and funky and weird.
Beyond. And they revel in that, and they still revel in that. And it's very interesting because, like, you know, much like Rage Against the Machine, much like Led Zeppelin, much like Pantera, much like Van Halen, you know, there are many bands that are that exact same format, meaning bass, guitar, drums, lead singer, right? But that is fucking stripped down for these days, where everything is played to tracks, or you have big bands, or you have, you know, whatever it might be. But literally, you got up there and you saw these three instrumentalists plus Anthony Kiedis join forces, as they do when they play in front of 60,000 people at MetLife Stadium. But you saw it in the close proximity that the Apollo Theater brings, you know, and it was absolutely out of hand. Incredible set list. They played 90 minutes flat, and it was one of the more poignant 90 minutes. I was like, really? They didn't phone that shit in for 1 second, and everybody was feeling it. It was an amazing thing. And you said last week, you were like, ah, SiriusXM making dreams come true and crushing dreams at the same time, which is really how I felt about it. I was like, fuck, like, this is so special, but so exclusive in this fucked up way, sort of, which is incredible, but it's also like, man, like, you just want to sort of, you know, how about like 2,800 people? Or how about like 4,500 people?
No, I mean, the underplay is a very complicated thing.
It is. It is. And of course, you know, you can't, you know, at a certain point, if you find yourself in one of those things, you just got to enjoy it and not think about how many people wanted to be there and blah, blah, blah. It was absolutely out of hand and spectacular. And of course, like, I, you know, was not partaking, but man, there was open bar, and right when you walked in, there were waiters carrying trays of drinks and whatnot, just like, hello, welcome, welcome, welcome. And everybody was like, oh shit, like, you know, drinking for free. They had branded, you know, they had Red Hot Chili Peppers flat brim hats with the date and the Apollo Theater, like, on the back. You know, they had all this commemorative shit. It was like, fucking wow. SiriusXM just threw a party and the Chili Peppers are playing it. It was really a bizarre thing. Incredible.
Well, you know, I would even take an underplay being a arena show at this point. You know, it's considering the success that the stadium tour has had, if they come back here and play a room any smaller, I would be very eager to see them.
I mean, shit, you and me both. I mean, yeah, we'll go back. We'll go back. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And, you know, like I said, like the three, you know, Chad Smith, Flea, and John Frusciante, right? That's a three-piece that, you know, could, they don't need a singer. They're that good, you know what I mean? They could just be that. And that led me to thinking about another instrumental three-piece that you got to see over the weekend, one of my favorites. They're called Medeski, Martin, and Wood. They haven't played in years. You saw that shit. I did not. Isaac, what the ever-loving fuck is going on? How was that?
Right. Well, Karina, yeah, this is kind of in the wheelhouse of this podcast in many ways to talk about this event. Brooklyn Comes Alive.
Did it come alive or did it come alive?
It definitely came alive. This is a kind of single-day festival that's happened in Brooklyn, New York for a couple of consecutive years at this point. And it's changed formats quite a bit. At one point, it was something that started at like 11 in the morning, and there was like stand-up comedy, and it happened at several venues around Brooklyn, and I saw you play, and it was an emphasis kind of on like being a mini version of the New Orleans Jazz Festival almost, where there was like specific collaborations and things happening simultaneously. And then it got moved from the multi-venue format to being at the Brooklyn Mirage, a place that we spoke about, I think, when they announced this year's installment.
Totally.
A very particular, kind of one-of-a-kind venue.
One-of-a-kind, baby.
That hosts a lot of EDM, electronica, and the like. And I guess the first year it was there, you played, you opened the day
correct.
And you DJed between sets.
Man, I was working hard for the money that day, Isaac.
And it did start really early and went very, very late. I was there for like 14 hours, it feels like.
It's unbelievable.
Now, I think part of the mastery of this year's installment, which I believe was the best yet, having been to a couple of these at this point, is that they recognize that a live music event in New York City should take place once the sun goes down. In my personal opinion, I love New York by day, but I really love live music in New York by night.
I think that's a salient point, and I agree with you personally. I feel like there are people who would take it, you know, who would hold a different opinion. Maybe just because they're gluttons for punishment. You know what I mean?
Right.
Just kidding.
Well, it's important, I think, to have a good container for the live music experience. And, you know, a kind of no reentry venue with music all day long. There's a lot to contain.
Definitely. And you have to, I mean, you got to not assume that even your most, you know, drug-addled lunatics among us that want to just, you know, stay at these things for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours, you know. I agree. It's nice that this started. What time did Cool, 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 the first band go on, Isaac?
I believe 6:30.
6:30. Beautiful, wholesome start time. Beautiful. Well played.
Well, you know, it's just interesting. No shade to previous years, but to see something evolve and to do so by stripping something back.
Yeah.
And saying, what happens if we actually kind of focus in on something? And part of what they did, I didn't catch Cool, Cool, Cool's set, but a lot of the music was instrumental.
Sure.
Which I thought was very cool. And the band segued into each other. I mean, there was a little bit of a break between acts, but sonically, very well. There was a nice continuation from Medeski, Martin, and Wood. I mean, they deserve their own episode, but I mean, this trio does improvisational music on a whole other kind of spectrum of different sounds and shapes and ways of playing an instrument.
It's so insane. It's so insane. And I feel like you and I and my band members and so many people that we know and like this band has been blowing our collective synapses since we were very young, you know?
I went to go see them at the Tarrytown Music Hall, like before I was in high school or maybe my freshman year of high school.
Yeah. And were your synapses blown?
Oh my God, completely. I was in this, you know, small theater in Tarrytown, New York. And it was just like, is everybody else seeing this? Like, they're masters of their instruments and so committed to, you know, the transformation of music over a set.
It's incredible.
Bringing it from one place to the next. Never, I mean, never wavering from their playing. And I don't know, it's just the connection they have to the instrument itself, like the physical instrument is so palpable.
Each one. I find that each one's commitment to each of their instruments respectively and then in tandem with one another is just in a different stratosphere. And that's us who've seen tons of jazz, tons of improvisational music of all colors and shapes. They're a different breed, and you know, Isaac's right, we should have just an MMW
dive of some sort
episode. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Which would be great. But man, I'm so glad you got to see him. And you know, it's funny, I feel like, you know, of course Chris Wood, bass player, incredible human, incredible player, is in a band called the Wood Brothers with his brother Oliver these days. And the Wood Brothers, it's an incredible career that Chris has had, because he obviously, you know, MMW not a slouchy 30-year career that they've had. And now he is off to the races with this whole other band and sort of a whole other genre, and doing it with such grace and style and you know, with such success in his circles. You know what I mean? And it's just an amazing thing to behold. But of course, that has elicited, you know, the fact that MMW just doesn't play that much anymore, you know, among other reasons. But like, Chris is busy and they have to work around it, and it's just a little more complicated. But from the look of it, those guys didn't miss a beat, did they, Isaac?
Oh my God, no. Not
the
at
opposite.
All. Not at all.
The opposite.
The total opposite. And, you know, I don't know, I guess we've talked about this, but I guess John Medeski was interviewed once, right? And he was asked a question, which was like, why do sometimes I see you guys and it's so in the pocket and funky, and other times it's so out? And he was just like, I don't know, man, that's just the power of improvisational music. And that really stuck with me, because that's just like so true. And it's like permissive. It's just like, yeah, sometimes it is going to take a strange turn. Sometimes it is going to be in the pocket, and you know, it's all good, man.
Right. It's like, you tell me, man.
You
like,
tell me.
I'm getting up there and figuring it out too. Like, it is. It's more than permissive. It's so just, that's how at one with both music and life they are.
It's really cool.
Such a fucked up thing. Oh my God. Well, we salute these guys, and I've
totally
had the great honor of playing with them in varying forms throughout the years, which has been a highlight of my career and existence, because you could tell, for those of you listening, you hear the way we love this? We love this. I used to sit around in my seventh grade bedroom just bugging out to Uninvisible and Combustication, unlocking the theories of the universe, and unsure why this appealed to me so much, but it did. And it still does. And just, you know, to be privy to those dudes and the way that they just are with their instruments and the way they are with each other, it's a beautiful thing. So I'm so glad you got to take that in, Isaac.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it was followed up by a set from Lettuce, who are, it's another band we've been seeing for a long time. And, you know, dudes we really love. And the Brooklyn Mirage LED screen was fully unleashed on the crowd for that. This was a wall of LED lights that was behind the band. And it really did bring out one of the best sets I've ever seen from Lettuce. Probably the best set. I guess they played our friend Josh Raskin's wedding. That was.
That was a close second.
I mean, no, this was so cool. I mean, they were just in sync with the audience and the venue, and you know, it was all three bands in very, very different ways that I saw take the live music jam improvisation thing in different directions.
Sure.
But they are all kind of good examples of extending a groove and playing on that, and you know, that's what Lettuce did, and they brought us right there alongside them, and totally brought it together
in a
great way. And then followed up by a late night set from Soundtribe Sector 9, masters of their crafts, and that set really made me go back and listen to some of their older shows. You know, they're a band that has done a lot of different things over the years, but really emphasized playing in cool places.
Sure.
You know, Red Rocks and the Caverns in Tennessee. And they even played like in the middle of the desert in 2004. There's like two shows that are like, you know, like in this UFO landing something. I don't know. I was reading up on it.
That's sick.
But they are very funky, spacey, trancy, and it was a great way to send us into early Sunday morning.
Dude, what a beautiful culminating of powers that be, or something. I don't even know. You have cool, MMW, Lettuce, STS9, and then there you are, and it's what, 2 in the morning, and you're
2:30.
On the streets of Brooklyn
yeah,
with all the headiest people in the neighborhood.
Oh, totally.
And beyond.
Totally.
And then you're just, I mean, it's a beautiful thing, and shout out to our friend Gideon Plotnicki, who puts this thing on. He has really put his whole ass into all of these for so long. It's like an incredible thing, and like you say, like, it's really cool to see how it's developed over the years in different sort of ways. And now, you know, the trimming back of the start time and et cetera, et cetera. It's just like, it's a really amazing thing. And it seems like everything I read was just nothing but nonstop praise for the event itself, the act that played, the powers that be. And we tip our hats to you, Gideon, and Live for Live Music and Brooklyn Mirage. Holy shit. Way to really, you know, they brought something to the people there. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was a real sort of musical statement in a way, and so fun.
Love it. Super love it. Well, speaking of musical statements, Isaac, our friend, and by our friend, I mean somebody we'd love to be friends with, but we admire very much, Phil Lesh.
Yeah.
He's got some friends.
He's
They're not us.
He's bringing the people together to make funky music for sure.
Fucking A. He just announced a bunch of shows at the Capitol Theater, which is sort of, you know, Phil's home away from home, let's say.
Totally.
Among
He's
others.
He's played this room more than anybody probably, right?
I think that's pretty accurate, right?
And he is setting up for an October residency.
Lineups of which are very interesting.
Yes,
very
so
compelling.
Let's just go through it with the three weekends.
Do it, brother.
So on October 14th, 15th, and 16th, on guitar, John Scofield and Eric Krasno.
Hot!
On the saxophone and vocals and maybe other things, Carl Denson.
Amazing.
On the guitar as well, Graham Lesh.
Beautiful.
Ivan Neville on the keys for the 14th and 16th, and Steve Mullitz on the 15th.
I love everything about it. I'm going to stop annotating verbally okay. after every person that you name. So
but on the skins, Alex Goford.
Oh, there he goes. There he goes. Amazing. Amazing. Now I'll stop annotating. Keep going. Keep
okay.
Going.
Well, I'll just run it down quicker for the next weekend. October 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. Rick Mirandonda, our man from Goose. Graham Lesh, James Casey, Natalie Cressman, Jennifer Hartswick, John Badeski, our man from MMW, and John Mullo.
Dude.
That is the weekend I will be at, October 23rd. Catch me there.
I love it. And I think it's Mitteratonda. I think that's what it is.
I should know that. That's really terrible.
No, it's fantastic.
Sorry, Rick.
No,
I love
Rick,
your guitar playing.
We love you, Rick. Come on now. I hope I'm right. Could be different. But good stuff. Incredible. You know, swinging younger.
I think we should just re-record that.
Mitteratonda,
dude. Terrible.
No, you killed that.
And then the last weekend, Halloween weekend, with the 30th off, it's October 28th, 29th, and 31st. Marcus King on the 28th and 29th. Dwayne Betts on Halloween night. Eric Krasno, Graham Lesh, Nikki Blum, Jason Crosby, and Tony Leone.
Hot shit. Incredible. Incredible. I mean, these are some of the more interesting, fun Phil lineups that I've seen in years. What do you think, Isaac?
I'm very excited about all of the potential music that's going to come out of this.
I think it's a beautiful thing. Wow. So I am on tour for all of this. So fuck me, right? Nothing. Nothing for me. You'll be there. Rick weekend. Spectacular. I mean, it's a special thing, you know, and I'm sure for him, you know, you get to play with Trey, you get to play with Phil. I mean, it's a beautiful year of playing with I have no doubt these are heroes of his, you know, among others, but like, this is a beautiful, it's amazing. And everybody involved, you know, to be called upon as one of Phil's friends is a very high honor.
Oh, completely. And I really got into going to see live music because of seeing Phil and Friends during a November residency in the year 2007.
Dude.
And that was like a classic lineup with Larry Campbell and Jackie Green, John Mullo, my man, holding it down on the kit. He's awesome.
He is awesome.
And Steve Maltz, you know, so some of these alumni are making appearances at the Cap.
Incredible. Incredible. So for all of you who are trying to get down with Phil and all of his fun friends, we encourage such things. We want you to do that. We want you to be up in the cut with Phil, with the new generation, with the old generation, with everybody who is there celebrating the Grateful Dead legacy together at the house that the Grateful Dead sort of built, the Capitol Theater. And shout out to our pal, our neighbor, Mr. Pete Shapiro. We haven't even mentioned the fact that he has a brand new book out. It's fantastic. His whole life of putting on concerts and the immeasurable joy that he has brought to so many, including the two of us. You should buy it. It's called The Music Never Stopped. It is really terrific and a beautiful read. And, you know, you can't say enough good things about the guy. Really, truly lights up every room he walks into, has more energy than a toddler, and has more ideas than a guy with a lot of ideas. So great stuff, Pete. Great, great stuff. And the Capitol Theater, man. Amazing place to see live music. And this is going to be great, Isaac. Isaac, wow. Rocktober. Really about to be in full effect. It's coming around the corner. We're not going to even believe it.
No, I know. It's so on.
Ridiculously on. And I feel, you know, I'm going to be on tour with Marco Benevento, for the record, up and down the West Coast, playing bass in his band. For those of you who don't know that that's where I sort of come from, it is literally where I come from. So come see me on tour with Marco from like October 11th through the 24th or some shit like that. Going to be great. Everywhere from Joshua Tree to, you know, Seattle and everywhere in between. Crazy. And below, San Diego. Come on now. It's going to be a party. So Rocktober is going to be great. I'm going to be not in New York for most of it, but I will be playing my heart out all up and down the West Coast. So it's going to be great.
Well, here at Inappropriate Happiness, we do have some news.
Oh.
Our dear friend, Brian Brinkman, is not directly overseeing our show anymore. We thank him so much for his help in getting this going.
He has been a delight to work with.
He's a great guy.
A wonderful dude.
Knows a lot about good music.
Dude, that guy just oozes spectacular vibes.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Brian, for overseeing all of this up until right now. And in his stead, the man I also thank at the end of every episode, Mr. RJB himself, is stepping up to oversee Inappropriate Happiness. Thank you, RJ. He's the president, baby. Happy birthday, Mr. President. Just kidding. It's not his birthday. Is it your birthday? No, it's not your birthday. But we thank you so much for overseeing this show now. We love you very much. Thank you.
When you come to town, let us take you out to dinner.
We're taking you out to dinner when you come to town. You can't, you know, there's nothing you could do about it, baby. And we must not forget that our partner in crime, Marlo Shankweiler, producer of the pod, she's out on tour, baby. She's playing guitar in her rock band, Melt. Melt the band, baby. Go to their website. They are definitely playing a town near you, and you should go and buy a ticket to the show. We tell you this every week. We mean it. It'll knock your tits into next Tuesday.
They have a number of shows left on their tour. I'm going to a lot of them. Hope to see you there.
Beautiful thing. So thank you, RJ. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Marlo. Isaac, this kind of brings us to the end of our road, doesn't it?
I think it really does.
You know, it's been real. It's been fascinating. It's been downright illuminating. And thank you for, you know, rapping with me here on this beautiful Tuesday night. Isaac and I are about to go see a band called My Chemical Romance together.
In their hometown of New Jersey, Newark, New Jersey.
We are getting it popping in New Jersey this evening. So wish us luck. Thank you all for tuning in. And we can't wait to talk to you next week.
Yeah, I never learned to camp. Can't even pitch a tent. I've been jumping turnstiles, hailing taxis with intent. Do you need directions? I bet it's not where you're from.
Osiris.
Hey, this is Dewey Halpas, host of Peer Pleasure on the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. Join me each week as I explore another long-form conversation with one of your favorite musicians, actors, comedians, or creatives. From Chino Moreno of the Deftones, John Gorley of Portugal the Man, to Fat Mike from NoFX and Ian MacKay from Fugazi and Minor Threat, we go all over the map. From Fall Out Boy to Slayer, Peer Pleasure has it all. Check us out now on Sound Talent Media.
This is Krista Makes, guitarist and vocalist for Less Than Jake, and host of Krista Makes a Podcast. A songwriting podcast where every week I'm joined by an amazing guest to break down the writing, recording, and release of one iconic song from their career. In our giant evergreen back catalog of episodes, we've had rock legends such as Dee Snider and Huey Lewis, punk rock favorites like Mark Hoppus, Fat Mike, and Brett Gurewitz, and up-and-coming artists of today such as Liz Stokes of the Beths and Genesis Owusu. We've had guests from all genres and styles of music, and I guarantee that if you peruse our back catalog, you'll see several episodes that'll make you say, man, I gotta hear that. Whether you're a fan of music or a creator of music yourself, you'll take away a whole new appreciation for the songs you know and love. Krista Makes a Podcast is available for free on all the places you could possibly listen to podcasts, and new episodes come out every Monday.